is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're going to have a fascinating show this evening with John Lear as my guest, which is very exciting. People that have followed Camelot for quite some time will know that John Lear is one of our favorite interviewees, and he's highly popular as well. I can't tell you how many people were very excited when they found out John was going to be on my show tonight. So this is a special treat, and we're going to get with him very, very shortly. I'm going to throw this out here and see if this is going to fly. Hold on one second here and bear with me.
Well,
you seem to know it a hell of a lot. So we're just trying to, you know, kind of get to the root of what you know.
It only just fits together. It's hard. So forget the fits. You know, they can't fit them together.
Absolutely.
Then another dead cow. Then another dead cow. I mean, there were 30 dead cows there. Then when I was north of Corona, and here comes this A7, you know, just coming down at Bosnus and everything, and I looked at them and said, how can this be after that? You know, why? And he said, I never know what it's like to see it on the day. It would have been, you know, exposed the entire cover.
We were ushered into John's amazing study.
Okay, so that's just the Camelot interview, the original interview we did with him. I wanted to throw that out there. I hope people that were listening could hear that. John is basically sort of knows how to tell a great story, and he's a real showman on top of everything else. I also want to say that he's an amazing pilot, and I'm just going to read this. This is kind of an old bio that you got here, John. John, are you there?
Yeah.
So say hi to everyone. I know that they're dying to hear your voice.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Say hello to everyone. I know they're dying to hear your voice.
Oh, hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Okay. So anyway, it's just great to have you on the show, John. I'm just going to read the short bio, and then I'd like you to sort of augment it. And I did link it up on our site, so if you go to the front page of Project Camelot, you should be able to click over and look at the bio that I'm about to be reading.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just to people listening. And John Lear was the captain for a major U.S. airline, has flown over 160 different types of aircraft in over 50 different countries. He holds 17 world speed records in the Learjet, is the only pilot to ever hold every airline certificate issued by the Federal Aviation Administration. John Lear has flown missions worldwide for the CIA and other government agencies. A former Nevada State Senator candidate, he is the William P. Lear, designer of the Learjet executive airplane, the 8-track stereo, and the founder of Lear Siegler Corporation. Lear became interested in the subject of UFOs quite some time ago after talking to a United States Air Force personnel who had witnessed a UFO landing at Bentwaters Air Force Base near London, England, where three small aliens walked up to the wing commander. And the long bio goes on for quite a while. I just want to say at the very end, what you say, John, is some of you may be asking why so many airlines collapsed that I worked for and why I got fired so many times. My excuse is simple. I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. I'm extremely lazy. I have a smart mouth and a real poor fucking attitude. I don't even know if I can say that on the air. But anyway, John, you're just, like, amazing, and you're so funny and so charming. So why don't you tell people about your background a little more, because you've got stories. I mean, so many stories that we could be telling people that even I'm sure that you haven't even told. So can you maybe back this up a little bit and talk a little bit about how many flights you did for the CIA, both in, Vietnam, in Egypt. I think you also flew for Israel's airline, forget what it's called, El Al or something, or is that the Egyptian airline?
Yes, I was the Vietnam.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. You were just cutting out. I guess they're afraid of what you're going to say here. All I did was ask the guy what, you know, to talk about his background.
Oh, OK. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Pardon?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I was just going to say that the during the Vietnam, what I did was, one of the things I did was ferry the Cessna 02B aircraft from Wichita, where they were made, to Nha Trang in the Republic of Vietnam. And that contract lasted for 4 years, and we took over about 360 of those airplanes, and they're used for forward air control. And they had four different types of transmitters and receivers in them for all the different frequencies that were used. And also they had wing mounts for rockets that the forward air control guy could, if he spotted a target, he could fire that rocket in, and then the aircraft that he was calling in could fire at the ground, and all kinds of little things. They had a gun sight on it that they used for those rockets, and while we didn't have any rockets ferrying over to Vietnam, we did use that gun sight because they'd give us these box lunches, and there was a little can of soup in there, and the can of soup just happened to fit in that little gun sight, and we'd turn it up, turn up the reticule light on it, and it would take about 4 hours to warm up, but we'd have some warm soup after about 4 hours. But that that trip from Wichita to Nha Trang took about 65 hours, and the route that we took is we'd leave Wichita, and we'd make one stop between Wichita and Hamilton Air Force Base, which is in San Francisco. And we would check our oil consumption. And then we would go from Hamilton Air Force Base in San Francisco to Honolulu, or Hickam Air Force Base, as it was called. And that trip took about 19 hours. And, of course, we were solo in the airplane. So it was a long, long flight. But I remember that when we used to land there at Hickam, it was at, usually be at night about 10 or 11 o'clock, and we pulled into the ramp there, and the colonel that met us was Colonel Burgess, and he'd have a cold Heineken's ready, and he'd put it right through the little window there after we shut our engines down, and we'd have a nice cool Heineken's. But from there in Honolulu, we'd go to Midway, which is about 1,000 miles to the north and west of Honolulu. And from Midway, we'd go to Wake Island. Wake Island was fun because it had a neat old bar that was there from the old Pan Am days when they used to fly the Pan Am boats. And they'd stop there for a fueling stop. And then from Wake Island, we'd go nonstop to Guam. And there's two airports on Guam. There's Anderson Air Force Base, which was the SAC base, and then there's Agana, Navy Agana. But we used the SAC base, and we'd stay overnight there. And then the next day we'd fly to Manila to Clark Air Force Base. And Clark Air Force Base, you can always tell when you're getting closer to the action, to the war, because the decibel reading of the officer's club is about 10 decibels higher than normal. But we'd leave Clark, and we'd go across the South China Sea into Nha Trang. And we'd deliver the airplanes into Nha Trang. We'd land, and there was a bunch of people there ready to take the ferry tanks out, take the oil tanks out, spare oil tanks out. And there was radios, HF, that we didn't need. And we'd take all that stuff, and the tanks, the great big metal tanks, they would leave there in Nha Trang. But all the rest of the stuff, they'd ship back to Wichita so that we could put it in another airplane and make another trip. And like I say, they took 65 hours, and it usually took about, I think the fastest you could do it was 18 days. And then we'd get a ride in some Air Force airplane down to Saigon, and we'd usually have to stay there 3 days because we were civilians flying under Air Force orders, but we were not Air Force. So when we got to Saigon, they would give us a fine for being in the country without an in-stamp because Nha Trang was not an official customs base. So the fine was, I forget what the fine was, but it was a monetary fine, and then you had to stay under house arrest for 3 days. And then we'd do that, and then we'd fly home either by Hong Kong or Guam and stay home for a week and then pick up another airplane and do it again. That was between 1967 and 1970.
Okay, and why were you flying airplanes into Vietnam? What were you doing, dropping them off?
Yeah, they were forward air control planes, and they were used to fly over the enemy and sight the enemy so that he could call in strikes from other aircraft like F-4s and F-105s and just, you know, all kinds of other strike force aircraft, and he would tell them where to strike.
I see. And then, okay, you know, you've done a lot of daredevil type of things. I know that in that bio that I asked people to click over to, you also flew both for Egyptian and for the Israeli airline. And at one point you did it in one day. Isn't that right? You
worked. Yeah, that wasn't a daredevil thing. That was just happened to be that we when the Camp David Accords were signed in 1978 by Anwar Sadat and Israel, those Camp David Accords provided that each country would fly into the other country 4 days a week, and of course El Al, the Israeli airline, didn't mind flying into Egypt, but you could not find a Egyptian who would fly into Israel. So they had to form a different company that was called Air Sinai to do these flights. And the Americans, which was me, were supposed to pretend we were Egyptians flying those flights into Israel. But it just happened that one day Israel was on strike, and when we went there, for some reason, and I don't know whether I'll ever find out, it was imperative that Al Al, the Israeli airline, fly to, I'm trying to think, where was it? Just to the north there.
Tel Aviv?
Istanbul. And they had to make that flight to Istanbul. And so what they did is, since their airline was on strike, they used our airplane. And I remember the Israeli security anti-hijackers came in and introduced themselves in the cockpit and said they'd be aboard the airplane in case anything happened. But we went ahead, boarded the passengers, flew up to Istanbul, and then back to Tel Aviv, and then reverted to our regular Air Sinai flights back to Cairo. And so that was the day that I flew for an Egyptian airline and an Israeli airline in the same airplane on the same day.
Incredible. Okay. You know, I just interviewed Norm Bergram, and a lot of people are going to be very curious. You know, I thank you at the end of my interview with Norm, and you were the inspiration who told us many years ago that we should interview Norm Bergram. And you told us about the hologram, the airplane that he had seen and told you about, and then I asked him about that you can hear it on the interview as well. And that's basically what you said flew into the Pentagon, or not the Pentagon, into the Twin Towers. And it's beginning to look like you're correct. There's more and more people out there now jumping on that bandwagon, admitting that there may have not even been a real airplane that flew into those towers.
Right. Well, I sure took a lot of flack back in those early days when people were trying to figure out what happened there. But on one of the forums, there was like about 10 or 15 people that would attack me for saying that it was a hologram. And their argument was, as they say, well, people actually saw it. And, you know, it's hard to tell people that our advancement in technology is so far ahead of what they know about that what they think is magic is actually real. And what they can do is project a flying object like a Boeing 767 and project light, sound, and everything it needs for people to believe that that was a Boeing 767 going at 300 miles an hour across the tops of the buildings and hitting the World Trade Center. But in fact, it was just a hologram. And when it was visually, when you see that CNN clip that looks like it's slicing through butter, when the airplane doesn't even slow for a millisecond, they set off the explosives that made it look like that the airplane was actually the cause. But if anybody wants to read the best book that's ever been put out on 9/11, it's Judy Wood's book, and it's called Where Did the Towers Fall? And if you get that book and read it all the way through, it's like 600 pages. It has the best drawings, the best photographs. I mean, it's just well done. And Judy is a doctor of mechanical engineering, and she really knows what she's talking about. And she tells you exactly the method with which those twin towers fell. And basically, it was a...
We're going to have an interruption here, John. There's a commercial coming up. We'll be right back with John Lear. Thank you.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Critics and fans alike are calling the latest book by Sean David Morton, Sands of Time, amazing. 5 stars. A soaring adventure. Better than anything by Dan Brown and James Patterson by far. A sweeping, epic masterpiece. Incredible true story of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with Area 51, the Dulce Wars, the Montauk Project, and his meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful shadow government engaged in a desperate above-top-secret race against time to save the world. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare and precious look behind the curtain of New World Order super technology with enough hard science to convince even the most cynical skeptics. From the Philadelphia Experiment and Roswell to teleportation and time travel, Sands of Time solves the mysteries that have been baffling the world for 70 years, proving that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong. Sands of Time by award-winning author Sean David Morton, available exclusively as a signed first edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com. Read this fantastic book and never be the same.
You, as a free, beautiful, independent human being with inalienable rights, own yourself. As a result, you can do what you want with your own body and own the product of your labor. The implication is that it is morally wrong to initiate force against someone else's property because to do so is to violate their rights. Therefore, all human interactions should be free of force, fraud, and coercion, and people should be free to exercise their rights, limited only by respect for the rights of others. When you learned don't hit and don't steal, it wasn't unless you work for the government. When you learned thou shalt not kill, it wasn't unless your dear leader gives you a gun and a uniform and a one-way ticket to the other side of the world. Government is force, an opinion with a gun. And force is a poor substitute for persuasion. Governments frighten us into thinking we need them. But with knowledge, philosophy, and technology, we are empowering ourselves and each other to have the courage to move past the paradigm of statism and restrain government to only moral uses of force, at least until we replace it with the cooperative free market solutions that will soon render it obsolete.
Indigrow is your source for affordable induction grow lighting. First discovered in 1891 by Nikola Tesla, Indigrow lights deliver 11 years of electronic sunlight to your plants. Indigrow lamps require less than half the power of traditional HID lamps. Converting to Indigrow lights means you'll cut down on your power bill with less lighting. Indigrow lamps also use 5 times less mercury than traditional fluorescent or HID lamps, making Indigrow not only energy efficient, but environmentally friendly as well. No more switching out lamps between vegetative and flowering stages. As nature intended, your lights get a steady dose of UV light that makes your plants grow healthier and stronger. Indigrow products are manufactured in San Diego, California, and come with a written 10-year warranty. What Tesla knew, then growers know now, is that Indigrow lighting is the cost-effective addition to your victory garden. To learn more or order now, go to inda-grow.com. That's inda-grow.com. Or call 877-452-2244 to answer any of your questions. These guys really know lights. Indigrow really is your sunlight in a box.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy is the Vinnie Eastwood Show. In a world so full of madness and chaos, don't lose your sense of humor or you'll go friggin' nuts. Weekdays 5 to 7 Central on American Freedom Radio.
Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to John Lear. We were just talking about the holograms, the planes that were flown into the Trade Center. John, I don't know if you've heard this, but recently I had a guest on, a very interesting man named David E. Martin. Have you heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, he was basically part of a group of 12 people that were given the proposition of buying the presidency, according to his story. He's a top executive, very well known in the business world, apparently, and has written a book. It's a fiction, but he says that it's actually fact. He wrote it in the form of a novel. In that book, he says that what happened in 9/11 was that there were gamers that were hired by the powers that be to actually to fly the planes into the Pentagon and into, well, I don't know about the Pentagon because as far as I know, that's a missile, but into the Twin Towers and the one that crashed in, I think it was Pennsylvania. And that they were actually, they didn't know what they were doing. They were given a game kind of a scenario, a virtual scenario to see if they could do it. Now, I've also heard recently when I was at Conspiracy Con, I'm afraid I don't remember his name, but he was talking about the hologram theory, but he augmented that by saying that there were drones that were flying alongside the hologram type of things, and that they were actually cloaked with invisibility, and they were what provided the sound effects. That's why the sound effects of the planes flying into the Pentagon, or I mean, again, into the Twin Towers, were so real, is because they really were planes there, but they were flying, I guess, above the holograms, and they were supplying the actual sound effect, and they were being flown by, well, at least according to this guy, David E. Martin, it sounds like possibly they were being flown by gamers. Does this make any sense to you?
No, because the hologram itself contains the sound and the light. They don't have to provide sound for it. But the World Trade Center was destroyed by beams that it was actually a molecular dissociation, which it reduced the molecular makeup of concrete and steel down to a size of initially to 38 microns, and then it just actually disappeared. That's why there was no wreckage, or very little wreckage, of the World Trade Center. It was just like one story of concrete and steel. There was hardly anything left, and all that dust in Manhattan was the dust, the 38 micron size dust of being disintegrated by this weapon. And let me be sure that the Pentagon, there was no missile or airplane. It was an overfly. Actually, the airplane 767 came down north of the Sitco station and went down to about 100 feet and then climbed away and either went to Andrews Air Force Base or someplace else. But nothing went into the Pentagon. That was explosives. And the reason we know that is because the lady that was, let's see, what was her name? April Gallup was an Army intelligence specialist, and she was sitting 40 feet away from that wall. And her six-month-old son was in his baby carriage thing right under her feet. And when the explosion came, there was nothing that came in, or there was no fuel no fuel smell, or any kind of a jet fuel or anything like that. And after that hole opened, she picked up her son and walked out of that hole in the concrete of the side of the Pentagon and went onto the grass for triage. So there was nothing, no missile or anything, that went into the Pentagon. And as far as the place in Pennsylvania, what was the name of that place where they crashed? Or allegedly crashed. What was that other place called?
I forget the name of the place.
You just said it. Anyway, where that Flight 93 supposedly landed or crashed, that was just a 20-foot-long hole that had just been recently dug. And I'm going to tell you why that happened is because the third airplane was supposed to simulate a crash into Building 7. But after the first two went off in the World Trade Center, something happened to either the holograph machine or whatever it was that they were supposed to simulate flying into the building number 7. Something happened and they couldn't do it. So now they had to fake another crash site, and so they went down to this other place. I wish I could remember the name of it. And simulated that crash site, and it took them 6 hours to do it. So the crash into the Building 7 was supposed to happen at 11, and at 5 o'clock they let the news reporters into this other place down in Pennsylvania and tried to say that, yeah, that's where Flight 93 crashed, but there was no wreckage at all. There was one little teeny turbine. And I've, you know, seen enough wrecks in my life that I know that there's no possibility an airplane can disappear below ground. But what the problem was is now they had to figure out what to do with Building 7, because the airplane was supposed to, they were supposed to allegedly fly into that thing, and they were going to use the same stuff that they used at on the World Trade Center. But they couldn't project the holographic image. So it got to be 5 o'clock, and they didn't know what to do. And they said, well, just maybe the American public will be stupid enough to believe that that building just disintegrated from a fire. And so they said, well, we have no other choice, so let's just do it. So they used the same method of destruction for building number 7 that they did for 1 and 2, and it collapsed, and they were right. Nobody said very much about Building 7. Oh, yeah, it collapsed. It must have been that fire. But Building number 7 collapsed within its own footprint, and there's no possibility that it could have been either man-made explosions or anything else that they had. This was a real technological molecular dissociation that they used.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Do you know who Victor Boot is?
Victor who?
Victor Boot, or Bout Boot, you know who he is?
No.
Okay, well, he was called the Merchant of Death. He was one of the biggest arms salesmen. They made a movie about him with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay.
Well, at any rate, I have interviewed a person who worked with him called Dmitry Kalazov, and he has told me that Victor Boot apparently attests that there was what is called a granite missile that hit the Pentagon, that it was actually a missile. You know, now I hear what you're saying about April, and that certainly is persuasive. But the Victor Boot story is on my website, just in case you're interested, and it's quite extensive. Apparently, you know, he ended up in jail over knowing this information, according to what's, you know, what. Now there might have been a lot of other reasons why the American government might have wanted to throw him in jail, besides this information, but that's what Dmitry Kalazov, who is a former nuclear intelligence officer from Russia, is saying.
Well, what they're trying to do, Carrie, is get the heat off what really did it. And, of course, it's the weaponized satellites that we have. There's 24 of them orbiting. And it's taken them 30 years to put them up there. And they have these weapons and other weapons that they use, the one containing molecular dissociation. And what they're trying to do is take the eyeball off these weapons and make it, oh, yeah, it was this other thing that we had, and there's nothing in space. But, in fact, those 24 orbiting satellites, at least one of them was used to destroy World Trade 1, 2, and 7. And but they don't want the public to know about it. So they're trying any method to disguise or to say that it was something else that hit the Pentagon. And they're trying to say that they had nukes at the World Trade Center, and they've got this Russian out there saying that there's nukes at the World Trade Center, and it's not true, because first of all, there's no residue of the cesium. I think it's 137 that it would had to been there, and any other part of the nuclear weapon, that it's just not there. In fact, it was these spaceborne weapons. So that's what they're trying to do with these counter stories, with somebody else coming in and saying, "Oh no, you know, it was a granite bomb that went in there."
All right. Well, that's very interesting. Let me, you know, because I do have information about those satellites. There's a group of nanosatellites that Anthony Sanchez has been talking about that are up there, which are run by this sort of major satellite, I guess called Mother. I don't know if you've heard of that, but at any rate, the hologram theory, it gets into the whole Project Bluebeam idea. And if they created the hologram that Norm saw, which he saw looked for all intents and purposes, even though it was almost right over his head, a jet, right?
Yeah.
And then disappeared in completely in thin air, but it looked and sounded just like a jet. And then years later, you've got the Pentagon, and you've got the World Trade Center situation, and you've got a hologram there. If indeed that was true, it was certainly state of the art at that point, which was what, 2001?
Well, 2001 is when it happened, but he saw that a couple of years before 2001.
Right.
So when I went over to his house during the San Jose UFO Expo in 2005, I said, "What do you think, Norm? Do you think that could have been a hologram?" And he said, "Yes, and I'll tell you why." And then he told me about this thing that happened to him in before 9/11.
Oh, I see. So Norm agrees with you on that. I think that's correct.
Is what? I'm sorry,
okay.
What?
Is that that's an alarm in your house of some kind, it sounds like. So you're saying Norm Berggren agrees with you about the hologram going into the Twin Towers?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Now, what do you think about Project Bluebeam? Do you think that that's a likely thing we're going to look at in the future, the near future here?
Just refresh my memory of what Bluebeam is.
It's basically a fake alien invasion using UFOs, fake UFOs, and that sort of thing. To, as you know, Werner von Braun, talked about the last sort of enemy that if the New World Order wanted to basically put their way, you know, their whole thing into effect, that they would use the blue beam as their last resort to fake an alien invasion.
Right. Carol Rosen told us that, and they certainly have the technology to do it, but whether they'll actually try it, I'd be hard-pressed to believe that they're going to try it, but they might. You know, who knows? I'm not a very good predictor, so it'll be interesting to see if it happens, but they certainly have the technology to try that.
Okay. I'm also noticing that on your website you're talking about Einstein being... well, a hoaxer. Why do you call him a hoaxer?
Because he deliberately put out those theories of his theories of relativity, both general and special, knowing that they were wrong. And he knew that, and he would just admit to friends that that he wasn't very sure about it. But when Perry Spalter came along in 1993 and published her book, The Laws... the gravitational force of the sun, and proved all the ways that he was wrong. I mean, there's like 19 different ways that she lists that he was wrong. And so, you know, he knew that. And the thing is that he used Newton's law of gravitational force, which was wrong in itself, because, you know, there's no basis for Newton's assumption that gravitational force is due and is proportional to the quantity or density of matter. And what we use that law for is to predict the size or the weight or the density of the moon from its size or any planet from its size, and you can't do that. And Perry Spalter has proven that by... the calculations she's done in this book, and it's called Gravitational Force of the Sun by Perry Spalter. That's Spolter, and she laid that out in 1993, and I read it a couple of years ago and realized the importance of what she said, because if she could prove Newton wrong, then Einstein had based all of his figures and theories on Newton. So that would make all of his stuff wrong. And so what happened when CERN spent $19 billion on that collider over in Geneva, Switzerland?
Sorry about this. We got a commercial. We'll be right back, and we'll pick up here.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
I want to tell you about something really, really cool. It is silvercoins.ag. Now, AG is the symbol for silver on the periodic table of elements. Silvercoins.ag is the new website for cheap silver coins. Silvercoins.ag automatically surfs popular online retailers for silver coin bargains based on the minute-to-minute fluctuations of the silver market. Silvercoins.ag focuses on silver purchases from $5 to $50, but of course, big junk silver bags bags and monster boxes are available too. Purchases can generally be done using a credit card or even PayPal, so you have multiple layers of protection. SilverCoins.ag has no annoying salesmen. SilverCoins.ag has live streaming metal prices, so you don't have to refresh your browser all day long. Stop the endless web surfing for the best silver coin deals, because now you can visit and bookmark SilverCoins.ag. I use it. I want all your friends to use it. You tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Could it all be a bad dream or a nightmare? Based on preposterous notions and on ideas whose time should never have come, preventive war is used as a road to peace. Tolerance delivered by government guns. An empire replacing the republic. Slavery sold as liberty. Socialism to save capitalism. A government out of control, unrestrained by the Constitution, the rule of law, or morality. Money does not grow on trees, nor does prosperity come from a government printing press or escalating deficit. A central bank that deliberately destroys the value of the currency in secrecy, without restraint, cheered on by the pseudo-capitalists of Wall Street, the military-industrial complex. The good news is the reversal is achievable through peaceful and intellectual means, and fortunately, the number of those who care are growing exponentially.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Warning. Warning.
American.
Warning.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
Use the truth carefully.
Your frequency is ascending with Strange Universe Radio, the most popular internet program in the galaxy. Weeknight, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time with your host, Sean David Morton.
Been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to John Lear. John, I'm sorry for the commercials. I know you're getting interrupted here by them. Right before the break, you were about to say something about CERN.
Yeah, I was trying to say that mainstream science, they're trying to protect the fraud of Einstein's theories, both special and general, and also Newton's law of gravitational force. And what happened over at CERN is they spent $19 million trying to find the Higgs particle. There is no such thing. What the actual smallest thing, a particle that we know about, is the SMU, the singular mass unit, and that's the initial building block of quarks, which then build neutrons, electrons, and so on from that. But what happened at CERN is they actually found that neutrinos went faster than the speed of light, and somebody there released that information before they knew what was happening. And that, in fact, was the truth. And so what they had to do is 2 weeks after, they had to go and cover it up, and they say, oh, no, it really didn't go as fast in the speed of light. It was a wiring problem. But it was not a wiring problem. Neutrinos do go faster than the speed of light, just as superluminals do, and just as antimesons do, and just as Cherenkov radiation. And I'm just telling you that the reason that they're coming with that story is to protect the bad information that we're getting. And the reason we're getting bad information is because the ETs who have control are trying to keep us in the dark ages, and they don't mind giving the government and the secret operations advanced technology, but they don't want the public to have it, and they don't want to have the public have any really new stuff that would electricity that would be cheaper, except the ECAT system. Now, the ECAT system was developed over in Italy, and that's the first almost free energy unit that has been developed and is coming out. And if you'll just Google ECAT, ECAT, you'll see the developments they have made over in Italy. But what they're, you know, basically the thrust is trying to keep us in the dark ages when another ET force is trying to help us, but they can't get in.
Okay, well, that brings us around to what exactly is going on here on the planet. And you're sort of, I believe you're in a position to know. Wasn't your father, didn't your father work for MJ-12 or he was a member?
No, he was, he knew all the people on MJ-12, but he was the major contractor in 1952 for anti-gravity machine, anti-gravity technology. And I think they had it sorted out by 1956, and it was then that we used that technology to do a lot of stuff that we had. And he worked with all the major guys. I can remember when I was a little kid, the Vandenberg, who was a major MJ-12, he was around the house all the time, and so was Jimmy Doolittle. And Jimmy Doolittle wasn't a MJ-12 himself, but he knew everything that that MJ-12 did.
Okay, which is what exactly? I mean, this is all about Dulce and what went on there. You're familiar with the Dulce battle, right?
Yeah, I'd like to straighten that up. It wasn't a battle. What happened was that they were instructing 44 U.S. scientists in 1979, and a guard came in, and they knew that they were not supposed to wear sidearms or carry weapons or any at any time when a gray was around, because the grays didn't permit it, and it was known that somebody would be killed instantly if they did it, if they carried a weapon. So what happened is a security guard either accidentally or on purpose walked into this classroom where these 44 scientists were being we're having a class with this gray, and he had a loaded weapon on his in his holster, and the gray just looked over and instantly killed him with a little beam that he had. And then the Delta Force saw all this happening on the on the monitors, and they came down with about 20 other guys to retaliate against this. And the gray just killed them all, killed all the scientists, 44 scientists, and 22 Delta Force. And that has been, you know, touted as being a war. It was not a war. Phil Schneider was not there. Phil Schneider did not get hurt. His fingers, he didn't lose his fingers there. He lost his fingers playing with explosives when he was a kid. And this has been backed up, the story that I just told you, by when Bob Lazar was at S4, he read that identical report, except the only difference between the report he read and the one that I know about is that the report he read said it happened at Area 51. But I think that the reason was is because his clearance hadn't advanced to Majestic yet. So he wasn't cleared to know about Dulce. And incidentally, in the last 4 or 5 years, the new... I don't know why the new pronunciation of Dulce, but it's the DeLuca now. And it's like you spelled it D-E-L-U-C-A, DeLuca. And I don't know why they call it that, but that's supposedly the new name.
I see. Well, my understanding is, I guess you got familiar with Mark Richards, Joanne Richards' husband.
Yeah, he's the guy that was in jail?
Yes, he is
in jail. Yeah, that's all a total, BS fraud. I know the people that they're talking about. I work with those guys in Laos. There's no way that in 1979 they helped in an assault on Dulce.
Well, actually,
it's not that kind of facility.
You need to know this, but Sean David Morton was given a guy who passed on, left behind a whole bunch of files, and he was a whistleblower, became a whistleblower. And his lawyer turned those files over to Sean David Morton, who then turned it into a book. He was told to keep it fiction, but it basically tells the exact same story as Mark Richards about the Dulce battle. The thing you're talking about was an altercation. It was not a battle. It was a different situation at a different time. The Dulce battle is something that was much more pervasive and actually is documented very well in Sean David Morton's new book, which is called Sands of Time, which I think you should read, John, because you'd have a great way of evaluating that material. But I got to tell you, it was given to Sean, and he was told to protect the wife and daughter of the man. He could not tell it as a true story. He could only put it in a novel. So that's what he did, but basically it's all documented by what the files this guy left behind. And the guy who died supposedly ran Area 51.
Okay, that's all total BS. It didn't happen. There was no second altercation, no second war at Dulce. All that is to try and muddy the waters about the original altercation, and there was only one. It doesn't matter whether Sean David Morton brought that out. It doesn't matter whether he got secret files or not. He didn't. And I don't know where he got those files, but the story he's telling is absolutely not true.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you know about MJ-12?
Just that they were formed in 1947 by President Truman, and that over the years it increased to more members and then less members. And whether it exists now, I don't know.
Okay. And did you ever, were you ever invited to be a member?
No.
No? Okay. And what about Dan Burish? Do you believe he was a member?
Who?
Dan Burish.
Yeah. I don't know whether he's a member, but he certainly interacted with MJ-12.
Okay. And what about Marcia McDowell?
I've heard that she's had something to do with MJ-12, allegedly took it over, but I don't believe it.
Okay. You know, in Nevada, where you live, Las Vegas specifically, there's a lot of action in that area, right?
A lot of what?
Action. Underground action, maglev trains going in and out of Vegas to Sandia Labs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I was telling people about that about 2 years ago when they opened up the new secret base called Sandia, which is exactly halfway between the Tonopah Test Range and Groom Lake. And I watched them build Sandia from 1980 because that's when I was flying over the test site doing the monitoring for the underground nuclear tests. And I watched them take the top off that one mountain on Paiute Mesa and put the facility in there and then put the top back on. And then what they had, the problem they had was it was 90 miles away and they couldn't use any more 737s. They didn't want people to be suspicious that there was a new facility, but they had to get 3,000 workers there, or 2,000 workers there daily. And so that's when they built the underground high speed train that went from McCarran, where the special operations and the 7th.
Hello? You there? Okay, John?
Yeah.
Okay, you just cut out, so, you know, we're being monitored, as you can appreciate. Okay, we're going to go to an advertisement here, and we'll be right back. Stay with me, John.
Politicians, all I want is the truth now. Just give me some truth now.
home to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination? Well, not only does it change those popularity polls in a big hurry, but it's also interesting to notice who it is we assassinate. You ever notice who it is? Stop to think of who it is we kill. It's always people who've told us to live together in harmony and try to love one another. Jesus, Gandhi, Lincoln, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, John Lennon. They all said, try to live together peacefully. Bam! Right in the head. Apparently we're not ready for that. Yeah, that's difficult behavior for us. We're too busy thinking around, sitting around trying to think up ways to kill each other. Here's one we came up with. It's efficient, too. Genocide. You know? Killing large numbers of people simply because they don't look like you, they don't talk like you, and they don't have the same kind of hats you do. You ever notice that anytime you see two groups of people who really hate each other, chances are good they're wearing different kind of hats. Keep an eye on that. It might be important.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Project Camelot was Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to John Lear. Sorry, John, you were interrupted again right in midstream there. We were talking about Sandia, and you were talking about them taking off the top of the mountain and basically building the base in there. What do you think they're doing at Sandia at this point?
I think they're moving NORAD there, but I don't know for sure. But what they did is that 20 years ago, they were building these very deep, 1 mile deep, circular, what do they call them? A barracks or place to stay. And we knew one of the guys that was driving a concrete truck down there, and they were a mile deep, and each one would hold, I think, 25,000 personnel. And then right near there is when they were also at the same time building Sandia. And so the problem with Sandia is they couldn't use more 737s and they couldn't use more buses because it would let people know that more people were required up there. So they made this underground high-speed train that goes from the Luxor, goes up and stops at the Bellagio, and then it takes about 10 minutes to get up to the Sandia, and I think it goes other places. But what happened is this thing was almost exposed in 2004 because most people remember that the Bellagio was blacked out for 3 days. Now, it's just absolutely impossible to black out a Las Vegas hotel because of all the backup systems they have. But what they were doing is that when they were building an additional track and tunnel, they went directly under the Bellagio and hit the main power grid. And it just put out the power for 3 days while they fixed it. And it must have been an intelligence nightmare to give clearances to Clark County employees and confess that they had this train under there, and that's what hit the grid, and then get everybody cleared, and then get them, you know, to keep their mouths shut about this train. But there's too many leaks now that have come out that tell about it.
Well, I've asked you before, but up to now, I asked you, you know, a few years ago, and if you'd ever had a ride on that train, what's the answer this time?
If what?
If you have ever had a ride on that train.
No. No, I was never involved in all that stuff.
I see. Well, knowing that it's so close to your house, how would you get down to the train? I mean, in other words, you go into an elevator. Is it a special elevator? Or do you push a certain button? Do you have a card swipe? Do you know how it's done?
Yeah. And the N terminus at McCarran is it under the Luxor Hotel. And there's a passageway from the special projects where the 737 have their terminal, and you walk over to the terminal of the train, and if you're coming into the Luxor on top, what you do is there's a special elevator that you get on that nobody else can use, or it's locked out or some way, and get down to the regular place, or get down to the where you get on the train. And the Bellagio, it's the same way, and it also works great because you can go in and not be suspected of being an employee other than somebody just going to go gamble. But they go to a certain room and press a code and go, and there's an elevator that runs down to the train, and they just get on the elevator, go down, and wait for it to leave. And the same thing when they come back. It's just press the button, go up, and walk out in the parking lot.
You know, back to, the battle at Dulce, that information that you have, did that come from Bob Lazar?
The original information came from, I think, Benowitz. And then after I put out I was the one that originally wrote the Dulce papers. And the Dulce papers were were given to me by Ann West, and she's the one that had contact with the guy that was a security guard. And the security guard was supposed to, what he did is he put six packages together, and each package had a videotape of, I think it was 8 or 9 minutes of a corridor, and 25 black and white photos and 100 pages of technical documents. And he made six of these packages, sealed them, and gave one to each friend and said, if I don't contact you for two periods, and each period was ran 4 months in a row, you can take this information and release it how you want. And so Ann West got one of the packages and buried it down by Dolan Springs in Arizona. And so I met her through Tom Adams and got the briefing on Dulce, and she had the papers of the or the drawings of the black and white photos that the guard had given her. So I took those original pencil drawings and made felt tip drawings, and then I also typed a one-page summary of what was in the technical documents. And the reason you know that it's mine is because that is typed with an executive single-space IBM typewriter. And you can match with it. You know, people don't have that thing anymore, and I still had that at that time. So anyway, I sent that out, and this was like in 1987. I sent that out to a bunch of my friends, and eventually they became known as the Dulce Papers. So that's where I originally found out with Dulce and about the altercation. But then later, a year later, is when Bob Lazar went to work at S4, and he saw a report on the altercation, but it said it was it happened at Area 51. And,
right. You admit that that could have been planted.
Where?
For Bob Lazar to look at. They didn't trust Bob Lazar at all. So they could have planted that report. Isn't that right?
Why even mention it? And why say Area 51? Why not, you know, give more information on it?
If they're giving Bob Lazar misdirects, then it kind of falls in that category. The security guard's name was Thomas Costello.
Right.
Okay. And and this woman, let's see, Ann West. What I understand is that those packages. Actually, I was told where one of those packages is right now.
Other than Dolan Springs.
Yep.
Okay. Why don't we go get it?
Well, some people have tried, and it's in a very inaccessible area.
I'll bet you it's not any other place than Dolan Springs, because that's where Ann West hit it, and that's where Bill Hamilton and a few others have made extensive. What happened is he quit making his 4 month reports, I think in the middle 90s, and that's when they started to go and check. But I'll bet you it's not a different package than Ann West had.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't think so. That's not the story I heard. But at any rate, let me ask you this. In terms of MJ-12, do you know who the members of MJ-12 are now?
No. As a matter of fact, I think a couple of years ago, and my information comes from Burrish, McConnell was the head of it, Admiral McConnell, and then supposedly some of the current presidential appointees had positions on it, like the CIA director, and supposedly Cheney had a position on it, and supposedly Carol, what's the prime minister, Carol Thatcher was on it.
Yeah, she's the daughter of Maggie Thatcher, is that it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, my understanding is she was actually the head.
The head? Oh, well, no, I didn't. I thought she was a member, but why would she be the head?
I have no idea. You know, I don't know much about her. Mike McConnell was I don't know, is he the DCI? What is his title now? Do you know?
No, when he left MJ-12, he went to do something else and was supposedly trying to get people to release the information about MJ-12 and everything that was going on, and then I lost track of that.
Oh, I see. Okay. What about Bobby Inman?
About who?
Bobby Inman.
Bobby Inman. I saw an interview with him last night, and I was shocked how old that guy's gotten. But Bob Exler was the first one to approach him and about his attachment to MJ-12. And that's a whole long story. And Exler and I had some interesting times exploring around the Northeast U.S. And different places that he went. And then in 1991 or 92 is when Exler walked into EG&G and asked to see an alien or something like that. But the story he tells is absolutely fantastic, and the stuff is beginning to be true. But he ended up going down to Houston, getting in a black helicopter, going out into the sea from east or west of Florida there, where they got that portion. Anyway, there was the towers out there, landed in that place, and there was big hangars, and they had radar screens that was showing the different place where the saucers were coming in. It was a really interesting story. But anyway, that's where what Exler and I did.
I know that one of our interviews, you do cover what you did with Bob Exeter and the whole story that you went to Washington, D.C. and this whole craziness that that went on there. But just out of curiosity, in terms of the situation we're in the planet right now, you know that my latest interview with Norm Bergman, he talked about the craft in the rings of Saturn. And he said that he believes that they are on their way here.
No, that's his theory, but that's not true. Nobody's coming here for anything. We are the product of aliens who designed, who thought us up, designed, and built us, and put us here on Earth. And this is many hundreds of millions of years ago, and what they do is they just keep producing humans, and there's a billion times a billion other Earths where there's humans in the same thing, same program. What we're specifically supposed to do on Earth is to mature our souls. When we're given a soul, we have to mature the thing because it was so big. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you what Sleeper says about it. The souls are forged in fiery hearths of the universe and are tempered by lifetimes of experiences on places like Earth. Only when they reach an automatic alignment to integrity without envy, hate, or greed are they released from the nurseries of evolution. Some have difficulty, some never make it, and wallow around in the depths of what we call evil. If a person is still asking, why do I have to have integrity without envy, hate, or greed, then he or she is still in the early stages of development. The truth is they do not have to do anything. The decision is their choice. The soul is one heck of a thing, more powerful than 1,000 supermen, more fantastic than all the wonders of the world and even the galaxies. It's big, very big. It's so amazing they can squeeze all that into a clueless human brain. But basically what we are supposed to do on Earth is to mature that soul and learn how to live with integrity and without envy, hate, or greed, and then we get to go to the next dimension, which we find out when we die. Now, when Steve Jobs died here about several months ago, his family was around him, and just the two or three minutes before he died, he said, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow!" And what he was seeing was the reception area, because when we die, we go to the reception area, and we're met by whoever we believe in. If you believe in God, God meets you. If you believe in Jesus, Jesus meets you. If you're a Buddhist, Buddha meets you. If you're if you believe Islam, then the head of or the Islamic God meets you. And in my case, it'll have to be the Great Pumpkin, because that's who I believe in. But anyway, they meet you. And this room is so ornate, so huge, and so beautiful that's what Steve Jobs was saying when he was saying, "Oh wow," that he had seen that thing.
This is something of your philosophy. It sounds like it was also this guy Sleeper, who was somebody who came onto the forum for quite some time for a while, and was disclosing information under the name of Sleeper. Correct.
Say that again, Carrie.
There's a guy named Sleeper who was somebody who came onto one of the forums. I'm not sure if it was the Avalon forum or which forum it was. Maybe
ATS.
It was ATS, several years ago. And you basically downloaded all his posts, and this is his philosophy.
That's correct.
Yes.
And I have all 1,200 pages, and he wrote, he's has 7 books out now. I have 4 of them, and it's extremely interesting stuff, and I believe it fully 100%.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You know, Norm Bergram, being 91 years old, believes that he is now going to be funded. Did you hear that in my interview?
That he's going to be what?
Funded. He's got somebody who's going to fund his work.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I hope they do it in a hurry, because none of us live too much longer than 92 years old.
Okay, well, he's actually doing really well, and he firmly believes he's going to finish his next book, and he's going to talk about the fact that he feels that the ringmakers, those craft, are on the way here, and why he believes that. But one of the things he also talked about was the fact that there are rings that are now appearing around Uranus and also Jupiter.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay. And he says that the craft are what create the rings. Are you familiar with that?
No, but that's what I thought from the beginning. He said
okay.
In the beginning, he said they were mining the rings. And I said, no, I think that they're making them.
Okay. Well, he apparently thinks they're making them also. And he says that it's from a plasma discharge.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be running questions for John Lear, so stay tuned. Thank you.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Critics and fans alike are calling the latest book by Sean David Morton, Sands of Time, amazing. 5 stars. A soaring adventure. Better than anything by Dan Brown and James Patterson by far. A sweeping, epic masterpiece. Incredible true story of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with Area 51, the Dulce Wars, the Montauk Project, and his meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful shadow government engaged in a desperate, above-top-secret race against time to save the world. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare and precious look behind the curtain of New World Order super technology with enough hard science to convince even the most cynical skeptics. From the Philadelphia Experiment and Roswell to teleportation and time travel, Sands of Time solves the mysteries that have been baffling the world for 70 years, proving that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong. Sands of Time by award-winning author Sean David Morton, available exclusively as a signed first edition hardback only at StrangeUniverseRadio.com. Read this fantastic book and never be the same.
The year 2012 brings an ending and a new beginning to social, political, economic, and geological cycles for America and the world. The living prophecy that we are now voyaging through has many names ascribed to it. The Hopi say it's the closing of the fourth world of destruction, moving into the fifth world of peace. The Maya declare that we enter the fifth world age, the age of the center. All common themes in the array of prophecy that we are processing and purifying all the imbalances of the dying world age. We are
are transcending an era founded on duality, and we have turned away from the great spirit, resulting in greed, corruption, blind materialism, and disconnection from each other and Mother Earth. Collectively, we are poised at the brink of a world age rebirth in which we enter new domains of consciousness and manifestation, redeeming all the previous ages. Let's all join together to bring the vision of peace and love into reality, because we are the future, we are the heroes, and that we are who we have been waiting for.
Indigo is your source for affordable induction grow lighting. First discovered in 1891 by Nikola Tesla, Indigo lights deliver 11 years of electronic sunlight to your plants. Indigo lamps require less than half the power of traditional HID lamps. Converting to Indigo lights means you'll cut down on your power bill with less lighting. Indigo lamps also use 5 times less mercury than traditional fluorescent or HID lamps, making Indigo not only energy efficient, but environmentally friendly as well. No more switching out lamps between vegetative and flowering stages. As nature intended, your lights get a steady dose of UV light. That makes your plants grow healthier and stronger. Indigo products are manufactured in San Diego, California, and come with a written 10-year warranty. What Tesla knew, then growers know now, is that Indigo lighting is the cost-effective addition to your victory garden. To learn more or order now, go to inda-grow.com. That's inda-gro.com. Or call 877-452-2244 to answer any of your questions. These guys really know lights. Indigo really is your sunlight in a box.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio. Live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief.
Okay. There's too much confusion. Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to John Lear. John, right before the break, we were just talking about the rings that are appearing around Uranus and
right.
Jupiter, and basically the plasma that Norm says is what actually is creating the rings out of the craft, coming out of the craft.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. Did you happen to know that Norm had way above top secret clearance when he worked for Lockheed?
Yeah, he had like 2 or 3 pages of clearances.
Yeah, that's what he says, and pretty incredible. The guy must know just about every secret from the last 50 years at least.
Yeah, and those guys that get those clearances, they get discouraged because they're locked in these rooms, and they're not allowed to share their information, and they feel like that if they could react with whoever is building what they're working on, that they could make they could do a better job. But they're completely removed from anything else, and they just work on those. They just give them a part to make or something to design, not knowing where it's going or what its ultimate job is going to be.
I guess depending on their clearance. Well, let me ask you this. Have you been in touch with Bob Lazar lately?
No, just to invite him to my birthday, which is December 4th. It's going to be my 70th birthday. And he came to my 65th birthday. And so he says he's going to come to my 70th, which is December 4th.
Okay, well, we'll make sure to remember that. I've got a number of people calling and also putting questions in the chat here, so I'm going to ask the caller to come on the line with you. Is that okay?
Okay, fine.
Okay. So let's see. We've got a caller from area code 210, and you're on the line with John Lear and Carrie Cassidy. Are you there? Caller?
Yes. Hi, Carrie. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Love your show, and hi John.
Hi,
John Lear. I've been waiting to talk to you for years and years. well, at least a couple of years anyhow, since I first heard your first interview on the Camelot website, and I find your theories on the holographs very intriguing and stuff like that, and it's a whole new way to think about the 9/11 stuff. But I wanted to tell you, Shanksville is the name of that town in Pennsylvania where they allegedly crashed it into a 20-foot hole.
Shanksville, that's the name. You should have come on 35 minutes ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, no, I didn't. Well, at the end of one of the interviews you had said Carrie had asked you about the Ark of the Covenant, and you said you know something about that. Ask you some other time. Would you recall anything about that now, sir?
No. The only thing I heard about the Seals of the Covenant was the alleged comment made over at the Northrop facility west of Edwards Air Force Base when those guys were hiking around, and somebody said that the third or fourth seal had been broken.
Off the covenant, off the Ark.
Okay, what do you think the Ark is?
Well, it's a transmitter to God, isn't it?
It's what?
Isn't it the Ark that Moses built?
It could be, and, you know, I don't want to upset anybody, but, you know, those are mythical figures. They never existed.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I was more concerned about you a couple, I guess it was a year or so ago, because they said you were sick, and I was thinking, well, I hope he's not going, I hope he's not going back to his great pumpkin.
No, I'm doing well,
well
now.
I'm sure glad to hear you're sounding good and healthy and stuff.
Yeah, great.
I wish you the best.
Thank you very much, caller.
I'm a big fan. And thank you very much, Carrie. Love your show.
Thank you very
God
much.
God bless now. Bye-bye. Bye now.
Take care.
Now, there's a nice guy.
Take care.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of nice people out there, actually. Sometimes they get lost in the shuffle. There's so many crazies. But... let me see if I can get this thing to work here. We've got another caller, area code 707. You're on the air with John Lear.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. My name is Kathy. I'm from Northern California, and it's a pleasure to talk to both of you. And my question is, you spoke about the sleeper and the his idea of... maturing the soul. How is that related to on the moon the machine that actually catches souls?
Well, I thought that I proposed that the tower, the 7 mile high tower that Hoagland showed us, sits in the middle of the Sinus Medii, and is actually in the dead center of the moon. I propose that might have been one of the places where they transfer the souls to. And I did that on the basis that one of the remote viewers had followed a soul partway to the moon. But there are soul transfer centers on Earth, and as soon as you pass away or die, you're taken to a reception area where you meet the person who you believe in. You meet some of the people who have died before you, your family, and then you're taken to a place where you're shown all the good things you did in your life and all the bad things you did in your life. And if you have learned to live with integrity and without envy, hate, or greed, you get to go to the next step, which is the fourth dimension, which is actually a heaven 1,000 times better than you ever thought of, to continue your journey. Or if you haven't learned to live with integrity and without envy, hate, or greed, you come back to Earth or another prison planet and try it again.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, caller. We've got someone asking here. I'm going to go to the chat now because we've got a caller on the line, but if they will hold for just a moment. Someone wants to know, John, if you believe there are aliens living in underground bases on Earth.
Oh, absolutely. There's not only the aliens that are underground, but there's an entire civilization. At least there's four or five complete civilizations, not in the center of the Earth because that's a hot core, but in the part that's between ground level and 5 or 6 miles. There's all kinds of civilizations down there. And as a matter of fact, Admiral Byrd was the one that kind of found the one at the North Pole, but he was prohibited from saying anything he thought. And people who search for that or look for it are not going to find it because it's too well hidden. But in fact, there are entries at the North Pole and entries at the South Pole to these civilizations within the Earth.
By the way, John, I don't know if you know Brooks Agnew, but he's going to be leading an expedition of Russians. They've already got the funding and they've got the ships and they're outfitting the ships now. I guess in a year they're going to be going to the North Pole and looking for that entrance into that Admiral Byrd supposedly found.
I wish him all the best, but it's impossible to do because it's so well hidden. And they keep it hidden so that, well, so that you can't find it. But I don't think in the boat that they're going to be able to find it, the entrance, I mean.
Well, yeah, I think it's an interesting dilemma, but I think that it's a very likely a frequency, question of frequency. So if their frequencies are the right frequency, it's possible he'll stumble on something.
I think you're right.
We'll wait and see what happens with that because we're really talking about a portal in a certain sense.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. Let me take another call here. So hold on one second. This is area code 908. You're on the air with John Lear and Carrie Cassidy.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. John, have you heard anything about Nibiru being in our solar system and the military just sending out a brief to the dependents at the shore, at the bases that are on the shores?
The bases that are where?
Apparently, on the shorelines, like North Carolina or Texas.
Oh. Well, I haven't heard anything about that.
There's a gentleman, John Moore. I don't know if you've heard of him. On his show this morning, he talked about it. He's military, ex-military intelligence, and he was talking about that they've just received a briefing to the dependents that just to prepare a bag and to be ready to go on a moment's notice.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, it's... What do you think about the 10th planet? Is it really real, or is it just some stories?
I don't know. I do know there's 40 planets in our solar system, and we only know about 9, which is including Pluto, which has been downgraded from a planet. But there are 40, so that 10th one could be. I just it'll be interesting to see if it ever comes by.
FYI, both of you, Courtney Brown has done a remote viewing with a team, and they claim that Nibiru, or what was the 10th planet back then, was exploded, and they remote viewed it, did quite a bit of study in it, and they're going to be doing a live stream with me that's going to explain all their research and what the team came up with. That does not mean that there's not a second sun. John, what do you think about the second sun theory of our solar system? In other words, it being a binary star system.
Well, you know, the predominant occupation of the universe is with a binary sun. So I wouldn't be surprised that we don't find one. But I haven't heard out of a second one, but I've heard of the 40 total planets in our solar system.
Okay, caller, if you don't mind, I'm going to go on to the next caller. Is that all right with you?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. God bless both of you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's see. Would you say that Israel was involved in 9/11, someone is asking?
I don't know for sure.
That's a careful answer.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a caller at this point. Area code 520, you're on the air with John Lear and Carrie Cassidy.
This is Jim from Marana, Arizona, and I'm just south of Pinal Air Park. And, John, did you ever fly into Pinal Air Park when you were a pilot?
Yeah, several times. And it was when Evergreen still has it, right?
As far as I know.
Yeah, that's an extremely interesting place. I went in about in 1993 to pick up an Air Canada L-1011 to fly it to Cambridge, England, where it was going to get modified to use for the Pegasus launch craft, the Pegasus rocket. And it was interesting because we checked into our rooms and we had dinner, and then we went to bed. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard all these helicopters start up and operate around. And I had never seen any helicopters. When I drove onto the base, you can see the flight lines. And I heard later that they have a tremendous amount of underground hangars there where they keep those helicopters. And what they do with them, I don't know. But it sure is an active place. And when I checked out in the F-104 Starfighter here in 1998, I flew down there, and we did a couple of touch-and-goes at Marana. So I haven't kept up with what's going on, but there certainly are a lot of spooky things going on in Marana.
Where is that location, John?
Pardon?
Marana. Where is that base?
Marana is between
Tucson. It's in Arizona, north of Tucson.
Yeah, north of Tucson. Between Phoenix and Tucson, just along the highway there.
I see.
And another question, John. I'm a pilot. I have a plane at Marana Airport. Now, I've never landed at Pinal, but there's a lot of talk that they're flying missions for the chemtrails out of Pinal Airport. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't know. They should be flying them out of somewhere, but I don't know exactly where they're flying out of.
Do you know anything about the chemtrails?
No, you know, that's a confusing area for me because I've looked up and I see what people are calling chemtrails, but I don't know whether they're actually there or not.
Okay. Thank you, caller. I'm going to let you go so we can get someone else on here, and we'll be right back after this break.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
I want to tell you about something really, really cool. It is silvercoins.ag. Now, AG is the symbol for silver on the periodic table of elements. Silvercoins.ag is the new website for cheap silver coins. Silvercoins.ag automatically surfs popular online retailers for silver coin bargains based on the minute-to-minute fluctuations of the silver market. Silvercoins.ag focuses on silver purchases from $5 to $50, but of course, big junk silver bags and monster boxes are available too. Purchases can generally be done using a credit card or even PayPal, so you have multiple layers of buyer protection. Silvercoins.ag has no annoying salesmen. Silvercoins.ag has live streaming metal prices, so you don't have to refresh your browser all day long. Stop the endless web surfing for the best silver coin deals, because now you can visit and bookmark silvercoins.ag. I use it. I want all your friends to use it. You tell them Jack Blood sent you.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist capitalist scum who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little film screen comes down. And a big guy in a cigar, roll the film. And it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. It looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Talking to John Lear, I don't know if you heard that bit about the president going into a room and them showing him a film of the Kennedy assassination from a completely different angle. I thought that was really very funny. Probably very true. At any rate, John, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. There's a new vortex that they've spotted. Someone is just sending this through to me here. I don't know if you heard about the vortex that's appearing on the Saturn's moon Titan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Apparently. Take a look.
Yeah, I'll send you the link in the email so you can take a look. Interesting.
Okay.
Very interesting at this point. Anyway. there's another caller here. Let me bring them on. Area code 502, you're on the air with John Lear and Carrie Cassidy.
Hey, good evening, Carrie.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Just fine. Hey, you know, it's so fun listening to you, a soul with such good critical thinking skills. And I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your show. I did have some questions for your guest, but in the interest of being kind, I think that I will reserve those questions. I just wanted to thank you because you seem to get to the heart of the matter, and I'll let you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much, caller. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, John, we've got some calls. I've got some more things in the chat room that are coming through here, so I'm going to just scroll down to what they're asking here.
Okay.
Someone wants to know why you post on GLP, which is the God, what do they call that?
Godlike Productions.
Yeah, Godlike Productions. I guess there's a lot of suspicion that Godlike Production is kind of run by agencies and all that.
It's run by what?
Agencies, you know, the CIA.
Oh, I think the agencies have influence on all of them. As long as I get to say what I want and they don't change my text, you know, I go back and forth. You know, I have there's PRC, which is the Pegasus Research Consortium that I post a lot at. That's run by Ron Schmidt or Zorgon. But GLP, I just kind of drifted over after a couple others went down the drain.
Okay, well, you should come on to Camelot. Have you had trouble on Camelot lately?
No, but I'll go there.
Okay, well, that would be very nice. We can give you a special spot, and you can have your own whatever you'd like to do. Tommy, my webmaster, is listening right now, and he'd be glad to help you out. Let's see. We've got – do you think that the Vatican is liaising with the ETs?
Is it what?
Do you think the Vatican is, liaising, in other words, making liaisons with ETs?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the ETs liaison with everybody.
Okay,
organizations.
You want to describe the various races you're aware of?
Okay. There's the Greys that everybody knows about that do the abductions. Now, what they are is they're glorified robots or what they call
programmable life forms.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, the programmable life forms. And what they do is they do the gopher work, go for this, go for that. They do the abductions that they pick up the people when they're, or humans when they're 3 years old, 7 years old, and 13 years old, take them to the moon, do the checkups, and bring them back. The whole operation takes about 45 minutes. And if you had a switch that you could turn on the lights on a saucer during the day, the sky would be black. There's so many of them doing so many abductions. But so the Greys are that, and the human forms are pretty common throughout the universe, but there are other ones. And Sleeper was telling us about, somebody asked if monster like in Alien, said if that was real. He said, yeah, that was real, but also there's ones that are much worse than that. So there's every kind of entity that you can imagine.
Okay, well, and you're aware of the reptilians, the various races of reptilians?
Yeah, the reptilians were here before humans were, and apparently there's some good and some bad. But they say that some of the female reptilians are absolute knockouts.
Okay, what about the Nordics? Have you had any exposure to the Nordics, John?
No, just having heard about them, and that's one of that's what the Exler saw down in that Houston bar, where the Nordic walked in and he saw the vertical pupils, and the Nordic reached in from across the room into Exler's brain. He could feel him search around in there and pull something out. And Exler said it felt like he was pulling a donut out of his head. And so the Nordic took it from across the room ran out the bar, and Exler ran out after him, but lost him going down the street. That was part of that whole thing that went on down there in Houston. That was when he was taken to the anti-gravity chamber at one of the airports down there, where they could practice space missions just on Earth. And you'd step into the thing, and it was anti-gravity. Everything was floating around. You could float around. And like I say, this was back in 1991.
Okay. You believe we have superluminal craft that are going outside the bounds of the solar system at this time?
No, we don't. Aliens do, but we don't have them. And we can't make the trip because our bodies are not suited for it.
Uh-huh. And what about jump rooms? You believe in jump rooms, such as jump rooms?
Don't know. I've heard all the stories about the jump rooms, and I just can't believe that we're doing that, that we are participating in that.
How about time travel? Do you think that we're doing time travel?
No, we can't do that. Humans can't do that. Mainly, Earth and the solar system, this solar system here with all our 40 planets is just an illusion. It's made up. That's why people will say that they were sitting in their living room, and in the middle of the living room, right in the air, a door or a window opens, and an alien pokes his head out, looks around, and then brings his head back in. The door closes and then disappears. That's because Earth and everything around here, or everything that we see, is an illusion. That's why aliens can walk through concrete and steel walls, because it's just an illusion. When we die, we go into reality. And the people that have some people that have the NDE experiences, or come back from having almost died, saying that is reality. This is just an illusion.
Okay. To get back to Marana, I guess that's the base where you guys were talking about in Arizona.
Yeah.
I got somebody who's asking if you could elaborate on the spooky things that go on out at Marana. What did you mean by spooky?
I was just calling up the history of Marana and the fact that Evergreen has it. There are just so many different things that go on there, and no information coming out. As far as spooky, I'm just talking about the helicopters that came out at night, but not in the day, and you couldn't see where they came out, where these hangars were, because they certainly weren't above ground.
This person says that Prince Harry went there to train. Do you know anything about that?
No, he was training in the Harrier, I think, but I don't know what he was in, training in helicopters or what he would have been training at.
Have you ever been called up to go back into training people in planes and various craft?
To train what, Gary?
People in planes, because you used to fly all kinds of craft.
Oh, yeah, no.
You ever get stuck to do that now?
No, I'm too old for that.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be 70 December 4th. Hope you can get to my birthday. And
to be there.
I'll let you know exactly what day it's going to be on, but no, I'm done with that part.
Okay, let's see. Okay, I'm trying to see if there's any last minute questions here that I'm missing.
Okay, while you're doing that, I just want to remind people of this book that that Judy Woods wrote. It's Where Did the Towers Go? If you buy this book, you'll know everything you need to know about 9/11. And then the book that Sleeper we're talking about, his real name is Lou Baldin, B-A-L-D-I-N, and you can find his books on lulu.com. And if you want to read a book about exactly what they found in the Roswell craft, buy the book he wrote called In League with a UFO. It's fascinating, just fascinating.
Okay. Did you happen to hear about this new whistleblower coming out of the CIA called Chase Brandon?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, this is just in the news the last few days, and I had it on my blog. Apparently, he's saying that he saw some information.
He's saying what?
He saw some information about Roswell while he was working for the CIA.
Okay, they're still trying to... to push that down. The military is still trying to, they haven't let up at all. They're trying to discredit it. And believe me, it did happen. It was real.
Okay. Thank you so much, John. It's been a joy to have you on the show. I know everyone's enjoyed it. Everyone can go visit your website, Living Moon. I believe that's still your website. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, lovely. And hopefully we can do this again real soon.
Okay, thank you for inviting me on, Gary.
All right, you take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
The Ten Commandments. Here's my problem. Why are there ten? I think the list of commandments was deliberately and artificially inflated to get it up to ten. Here's what they did. About 5,000 years ago, a bunch of religious and political hustlers got together to try to figure out how to control people, how to keep them in line. They knew people were basically stupid and would believe anything they were told, so they announced that God had given them some commandments. Up on a mountain, when no one was around, God had given them the Ten Commandments. Why ten? Why not nine or 11? I'll tell you why. Because 10 sounds official. They knew if it was 11, people wouldn't take it seriously. It's a political document artificially inflated to sell better. 10 is the basis for the decimal system. It's a decade at the top 10, the 10 most wanted, the 10 best dressed. So having 10 commandments was really a marketing decision.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics. No taboo topics. No fear of doom. No fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.